This podcast contains strong adult content, probably crude language, and general fuckery. So put those kids away. Get them out of here.
Good evening. A landmark ruling, the Supreme Court today legalized abortion.
Huge increases in sexually transmitted diseases.
Transgender rights is a fundamental human right.
There is a right to marriage equality. I repeat, speaking to you from the steps of the Supreme Court, there is a right to marriage equality.
Should sex education be taught to our kids?
Rolling back contraceptive coverage for women.
To make sure that women get the health care that they need. So we've got a lot of work in front of us. Thank you very much.
Hey. Hi. How are you?
So good.
This is Frisky.
That's right. That's right.
This is a podcast where we talk about stuff. And the stuff we talk about has to do with reproductive health, feminism, the history of all of the above.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Lacey.
I'm Robin.
Hey there.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm remaining calm. I'm bringing my chill voice.
You're here to just relax everyone. And I'm feeling really good in this space.
Like, I just want you to close your eyes. Mm-hmm. I want you to picture women suffering.
Oh, fuck.
Hi, welcome to the show.
I'm really stressed out.
This has been a night. You had to watch a whole movie while I try to finish this episode. So I just want to say up front, before we even get started, I formally apologize.
Oh, my God.
Because this could be bad. It could be wrong. And it could be generally unentertaining. And you're welcome. And that's what they pay me nothing for.
Just turn this off right now. But do subscribe and review.
Go ahead and flag this podcast for inappropriate.
Go and unreview. Unsubscribe.
Yes.
Could you unfollow
go to our review
us.
Page and then just review other podcasts.
Frisky
and don't even mention us. That's what we need.
Over. We're done here because Lacey made me watch Game Night while she finished her
A very
episode.
Funny movie.
It was great. I enjoyed
and
it.
And I
very
fed
much.
You. And then I apologized profusely. And then I got you drunk.
You're like, no, drink up, honey.
No, have another Robin. By the way, can we push this back an hour?
But I had a great time. You were working away, and we're making it happen tonight.
I was so focused. I was laser focused that apparently my husband spoke to me, and it's like nothing happened.
That's so weird. Whenever a man talks, you usually hear it.
Yeah, usually it's like the top priority. Immediately, top priority. I put everything down, and I just give him an ear. You know, it's hard for men in this country. You know, I actually heard that. God, so
wow.
There's another podcast. There are actual other podcasts that exist in this world.
That doesn't make sense to me.
It's hard to digest and it's hard to take in because we know you only listen to this one and we know you're dedicated.
Yeah.
So there's this other podcast. It's like mildly more successful. Like thousands and millions of people listen. We're almost there.
Eh.
It's Chris Gethard's Beautiful Anonymous. I'm trying to talk to you about it.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy some of the episodes, not all of them. Mostly that's just because some people call in with nothing to talk about.
That's
like,
what my nerve. That's why I haven't listened yet. Yeah. Is like, what if I get a bad one?
Yeah,
I don't want to.
Usually, I judge by title, and sometimes it pays off. So there was one recently that was like, "It's hard to be a man today," or something in that nature, and it was actually a woman, a French woman, calling in.
Whoa.
Kind of saying, like, I feel for men because of how hard it is to be a man because of the, like, the toxic masculinity that is put upon them at such a young age. And they're, like, expected to be all these things and it's really hard for them. And they can't share emotions and blah, 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 blah. Which is all stuff that I'm like, cool. I agree. I think gender roles are stupid. And I think we should get rid of them. And I think we should stop putting pressure on both sexes. But also, do I feel bad for them? Tough one to say yes to because I don't. And I think I think that's an issue they should work on. But I don't think they need my sympathy for it. I don't know. It's a whole thing. I got what she was saying and I understood and I don't disagree.
Right.
But then when you try to make it like, I think if we helped men get rid of this problem, we'd fix all of our problems. And it's like, that's where you lose me.
There's so much that's like, because there is so much that's like, women need to be more assertive and women need to speak louder mm-hmm. and women need to do this and this and this. But it's like also men can be more compassionate. Men are allowed to show emotion. Men are allowed to, you know, mm-hmm. feel things that may be considered feminine or whatever.
And by our societal standards. Yeah. Like we've created a culture where they are.
And exactly.
But in our lady fight to break through all of the things that were put upon us by society that we never asked for and don't want, you know, we kind of just, we decided, let's do that. Let's do it amongst ourselves. Men have, I mean, like, they're allies. We appreciate them. They're a part of the community when they're allies. But also, you know, they can do it. You mm-hmm. do it yourself. Break out mm-hmm. of those on your own time.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not going to push pause on. This is not what this show's about. Why have I? How are you?
We're just getting passionate. I'm great.
Things are going well.
Things are going well.
People love you.
I think there are a couple people who might find me to be just fine.
Yes.
Adequate.
Absolutely.
Up to code.
Perfectly, like, mm-hmm. just so.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, you know, yeah. just not too much, not too much. Little. Yeah. I tweet every, you know, twice a week.
That's great. That's
not
all.
Too into people's face. Right. It's just reminding me I'm here. I'll throw a like out every now and then. Facebook, I'm kind of totally absent.
Right.
Instagram, the past 2 months have just been my dog.
Mm-hmm. That's what Instagram needs.
Don't really care about much else. And, is that what the question was? Sorry, what was the question? But my dad's visiting tomorrow.
Good time.
I keep forgetting. Mm-hmm. You did get me
no
drunk.
Offense.
My dad texted me so excited, and mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, totally.
Who are
totally.
You again? Oh, right. Dad.
Oh my God.
Dad.
Almost forgot.
Right.
Love you so much.
Soon? Tomorrow.
To my house. You're staying here with me and my family.
And we're going to like do things together. Right. I'm caught up. I'm fully caught up with this.
Yeah. So what the hell am I going to do to entertain that man? Mm-hmm. Unprepared, because I just hosted everyone and their mother, literally, over fucking Thanksgiving.
I'm on the exact opposite end. I'm on this like no family, no one loves you.
Die
alone, and you'll probably die soon, and no one will notice. That's like kind of what I'm going for this holiday season.
That's beautiful.
It's been going well.
It's healthy. It really shows.
Done not a goddamn thing, and I will continue to do that until it is 2018 and beyond.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, welcome.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Fuck it. Fuck it all.
Okay. So I'm really excited about this episode.
I am too.
I'm really hoping I do it justice, because I'm just super fucking inspired and blown away by the things I'm going to be talking about.
Ooh.
And I think they're great. And this is actually happy.
Oh my God.
So.
Wow.
I mean, it's the holiday season. And I don't want to make people hurt anymore. You know? Not until the next
After,
time
like
I'm
a
here.
Year of doing this podcast. I'm ready to
I just
stop
feel
the hurt.
Like you could use some happiness. I'm here to give it to you. I'm here to serve it to you.
Mm.
Ready?
Serve it up.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Here we go. Tara Indiana's dominatrix career began in 1989 in New York City.
Oh.
I know you brought up dominatrix the other night, and I was like, don't even react. Just don't cold face her and don't give her any fucking signal that you care, because you'll give it away.
I've never even heard of it. What?
Were they? I don't know anything about it, which is actually kind of true.
You played
I
it off.
I don't know.
Which is true. Yeah, you played it off really well.
Okay,
well
so Mistress Tara. She wasted no time becoming a total queen in a series of successes, including the Paradise Club crowning her headmistress, which from what I could find was a very popular, very classy gentleman's club in its prime. That was a while ago. I couldn't really find anything. I don't think they're around anymore.
Okay.
But, you know, the 80s, they were a different time. You know, you remember when you weren't alive
yet. I remember
it
well. Right. Yeah, for sure. I loved cocaine when I was
as
in the
fetus.
80s. Yeah.
Mwah. Cocaine. She also did a photo shoot with John Wayne Bobbitt. Do you know who that is? Neither did I.
Yep. Don't know who that is.
No. I didn't know who it was either until, which Danny did. And I'm like, should you be doing this? Who should be doing this podcast? I'm just going to do a quick side note on him.
Yeah.
We'll circle back. He made global headlines in 1993 when his wife cut off his penis while he was asleep.
Okay.
Right.
Whoa. Wow. Okay. So that's a story we've all like heard.
Right.
Right. But I think I've heard, I don't know. I've heard something like that. So John Wayne Bobbitt.
John Wayne Bobbitt.
Got it.
Got his penis cut off. Got it reattached.
Whoa.
And then, after some other things, started an adult film career, making films like John Wayne Bobbitt, Uncut, and also Frankenpenis.
So, okay, no, I definitely have not heard of this. Okay.
So I have this urge, because I'm just enthralled with that story. Right at the beginning of my other story.
Yeah.
I just want to get in, but I don't want to take away from Mistress Tara. So mm-hmm. I thought maybe at the end of this episode, just like real fast, I'll just like run through what happened there.
That
so
sounds
we
great.
All know, because we all want to know.
Yeah.
But let's focus
That's
on
juicy.
Tara, Mistress Tara for now.
Mm-hmm.
So Mistress Tara also started leading dominatrix classes, and they got picked up by Playgirl, a book called How to Seduce a Man. Have boobs. Just kidding. You're much more complex than I am. I'm kidding. And The Learning Annex, which was a pretty legit online adult education platform where you could literally learn anything from like writing your business plan to pole dancing to contacting a lost loved one.
Whoa.
Yes. So finally your dream One-stop of opening shop. A seance-based strip club with a solid business plan can come
Damn.
Through. Congratulations.
That's so cool.
I'm just really proud of you.
That sounds like the best place.
I feel like that would be...
You get so much done.
Yeah, like you push around like a planchette on a Ouija board, but you do it with like your boobs with pasties on or something.
Yeah, totally.
Let's work on this later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bonus
from
episode.
From the makers of Frisky History, the worst idea ever. We'll be millionaires.
It's true.
So I wanted to stop here and I wanted to talk about some BDSM basics so that we kind of had some terms down.
Yeah.
I didn't do that because I ran out of time and I was panicking.
So what was going to happen?
So we're going to have to save that for like a specific educational BDSM episode.
Okay.
So if you don't know any terms here, I probably also just, don't. So let's
yeah,
Google them
just
later.
Like, yeah.
Go
we
with
all
it.
Have the internet.
Don't
we all have Google.
Questions.
You go to the library, mm-hmm. figure it out.
And not Starbucks, because they have this thing now. So with the porn that they're, you know, did you read that? Starbucks is like
I've not heard that.
Stopping their Wi-Fi from being able to access porn sites.
Oh.
Yeah. I guess they just don't understand that like.
Conflicted about that.
What compliments my latte is like some lesbian porn. And I don't understand why you don't get
I know.
That. My palate is refined.
Truly, though, I do. It's kind of like if you're not bothering anyone, if you're mm-hmm. not touching your bits, if
don't
you got
them.
Your got you yourself in a corner and you're
yeah.
just sipping on a latte.
Back to the wall.
Enjoying your effort.
No one can see your screen.
Just, but then, you know, if someone's just straight. Jerking it, then it's a little
right.
bit like, well,
I
sir.
Feel like
but then
those are
like,
the people that ruined it for all of us.
Yeah,
honestly.
It's just, it's true. Okay, well, and then the like fucking Tumblr thing about how they're removing all porn from Tumblr. That's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucked up. That's where all, you know, scared high school girls,
yeah.
meaning myself, found out about porn.
Right. And what like penises look like.
We're like, oh, this is okay.
Yes.
I see. It doesn't all need to be horrifying,
okay.
scary porn.
I see what you're
this
doing here.
This is some soft Tumblr porn.
This is nice. That's like the beginner's guide to porn. It's
yeah.
just like put your toe in the water on
yeah,
Tumblr.
It is. It's nice. It just, you know, you got your little
Not
gifts.
Anymore. Yeah.
No.
Kids are going to go straight to the
straight
scary
to the hard stuff.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Which is probably,
you know,
what they want. They
want
to bring it all down.
Just get straight to it, you know.
Let's get to work.
I don't know.
anyway, so sidetrack again. Now we're in 1994. Mm-hmm. And along with her colleagues, London and Page, Mistress Tara founded the Den of Iniquity. And she said that she wanted to create a space where dominants and submissives could live the life for an hour, a day, a week, a year, or possibly forever.
Whoa.
The possibilities are limitless. And since its opening, she thinks the Den of Iniquity has transcended the status of mere dungeon, becoming more of a way of life, a movement, and a fulfillment of female manifest destiny.
Wow.
Yeah, it's some for real shit.
Whoa.
On their website, they describe their New York dungeons as, because they're like all over the world. Well, not all over the world, all over the country. In L.A., in New York, Phoenix.
Is there one here, I wonder?
I don't think so.
Hmm.
Not that I saw. Their website was hard It was hard for me to navigate because I was there for just strictly like an information purposes, whereas it's obviously made for people who are actually there to use it. So it's not for me. And I understand that. I understand that it was not made for my convenience and therefore I'm okay with it. But I saw was New York, LA, and Phoenix. I'm not totally sure if there's more, but
okay.
The New York website, because they kind of have it siloed based on city, they described their dungeon as the fetish playground of the future. You can get personal attention, intimacy, and authenticity, like you have your own personal dominatrix. It's a state-of-the-art 4,000 square foot dungeon.
Fuck.
They're talking like pretty new.
4,000.
Ready for whatever your heart desires.
It's like a warehouse.
Yeah. But like a sexy one.
Like a hot, sexy warehouse.
In their dungeon, you can find theme rooms like Waterworld, the Cyberdome, the Boiler Room, which is for kidnapping, interrogation.
Whoa.
And that 70s dungeon.
Fun.
Yeah. I just assume it's like Ashton Kutcher, who's just saying like, it was on fire. You know, that's like a thing he does.
That's really
bad. Sorry.
It's a great impression.
Okay, my brain is very...
Yeah.
It's not good. It's not good what's happening.
It feels good.
The Den of Iniquity's most precious asset has always been the ladies, though.
True.
They're handpicked. They're gorgeous. They're poised. They're intelligent. She's beauty. She's grace. She's Miss... Dominating the United States. That's a miscongeniality joke.
Yes.
If the whole movie was just that one self-defense scene.
Yeah.
The world I live in. Also, they're all very serious about the fetish lifestyle.
Yeah.
Must. And they also all get classically trained in the European style, which I have, from reading on their website, have taken to mean that like they start as being submissives. Because they explain that a mistress needs to have empathy and understand the submissive mind so that they can...
dominate.
Yes. Make that possible for other people. Make it, like, enjoyable for the reasons that it's enjoyable.
Yeah,
and
that makes sense.
Meet the needs of their clients. So they start from a place of trying to understand what it's like to be there so that they can then provide a service for them.
Mm-hmm.
Based on their personal experience as well.
Yeah.
But Mistress Tara is very clear that no one at the Den does anything that they're not into. So
yeah,
these are all people who are enjoying and expressing their sexuality in a way that they enjoy. And they're just having a good time.
I love that.
filling their needs in consensual ways. That's what we're here for.
Totally.
Her work at the Den earned her the name the Martha Stewart of Dungeons from the Daily News when they did an expo on New York's S&M scene.
Okay.
In 1977, oh no, not 1977, because that's in the past.
Right.
1997.
That's right.
Right in the future where we want to be.
The future.
1997, Tara started performing at La Nouvelle Justine, which was an S&M themed restaurant. And while she performed there, she met Joan Rivers, who became a fan and invited Mistress Tara onto her show when she had one.
What?
It's like she is just this, she is just this business mogul who is so smart in the way that she does things. And she's making such a name for herself, right?
In this time.
After that, she's moving on. The next year, she shifts into fetish porn. And she kind of came in and she was like, fuck your conventions. Because in the 90s, BDSM films were only made with porn actors. So Mistress Terror became the first professional dominatrix to appear in mainstream fetish porn.
Right.
So she's like all up in there, like A Star Is Born, Gaga.
Yeah, Streisand. Yeah, totally.
Yes. So she is rising to stardom. She's like signing people's shit. She's like, give me that contract. Put me on your fucking whatever. I'm here to do business.
Yes.
And she's working with dope directors. And she's just taking over.
That's sick.
And Rick fucking Savage casts her and starts shooting all of his films at the Den of Iniquity. And then, because he like got this ball rolling, basically every S&M film that was shot in New York from 1998 to 2006 was either shot at the Den of Iniquity or with a Den of Iniquity mistress in it.
Oh,
so she's just like
nice.
Fucking high capitalism.
Oh,
paint, like I'm taking it.
This
monopoly
is my industry.
On this shit.
Yeah. I am the fucking professional here. Let's work.
Yeah. All based on
her.
Oh my
God.
Like,
that's so
she's so fucking
sick.
Smart. She's like dedicated to this lifestyle because it's a part of her. And she's just like being business savvy and getting shit done.
It's so cool. It's like these women who owned brothels in times before times, just forever ago, who were like, these are my girls. I'm not taking any of your fucking shit. Mm-hmm. This is a business. Mm-hmm. Take it or leave it.
Absolutely.
Give me your money, get out. But it's like for the times where pornography was becoming a thing. And she's like, I'm taking this the fuck over.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. They totally talk about this. Like, I'll just say before I get to that, because I'm right about to be there. In 2004, she retired from acting to produce and direct for the Den of Iniquity films.
Mm-hmm.
And she describes it on, I think maybe it's her personal website. I bounced around between a bunch of the different websites that she like is a part of or started or runs or are her own. And she said, I'm too busy ruling my empire to trifle with short sessions.
Oh.
So, I mean, if there ever was
she
a boss ass
rules.
Bitch, I'm telling you.
Wow.
But up until Mistress Terra came in with her legitimate business attitude, her like corporate fucking culture and brand and all that shit, the dungeon business was this like seedy underground community and a business because it did make money, but it was all being controlled by organized crime.
Mm.
But the Den of Iniquity was the first BDSM club to obtain a federal trademark. And it was the first and maybe possibly still the only. I couldn't figure it out. But they were the only dungeon to become a national chain.
Wow.
Mistress Terra also became the first and only dominatrix to be interviewed on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart.
What?
I know.
I got to see it.
The 2004 Republican convention. And I tried to find it. I tried so hard.
Damn.
To find it. And I couldn't. I was like trying all the keywords. I was going to YouTube, to the internet, to Google,
YouTube and the internet. And Google and
I like
Reddit.
The old fashioned, you know, like landline version of YouTube where it's just my
home. I had
home
the dial
movies.
Up going. I was on hold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't find it though.
Damn.
I was so sad. She said about it that she was a big fan. And that Jon Stewart is the only man that's ever publicly humiliated me.
Whoa.
So I don't know if that's just, if she's just like, I know, right? Oh my God.
I would let him humiliate me for
absolutely.
Sure.
I feel like from the context of reading it, that it's like a lighthearted comment of like,
I hope so.
I was just, you know, nervous to meet him or something. And
right.
Not that he actually like humiliated her. And like,
yeah, I can't
way.
Imagine he would have.
Me neither.
I hope not. Because now I really want to see it.
We'll have to judge for ourselves. I'll keep searching and see if I can find it. So then, after 20 years of the Den of Iniquity, Mistress Tara retired as headmistress. She handed over the reins, and she set off to pursue her dream of teaching and political activism.
Shit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like, she is a mystery, and she's got so many layers.
She's like an expert. Like, she'll take one thing and she's like, I'm gonna be an expert on that. And she knows fucking everything.
Yeah, and I didn't include this because I just didn't know where to put it. But in an interview that I was reading with her, she did say that she doesn't have any political background, but she comes from a family that is very political. Okay, so let's fast forward. It's 2016.
Yes.
Donald Trump is running for president.
Uh oh.
The country is crumbling before us. The world is on fire.
Damn.
Yes. I know. I hate to take you back there just for a moment. So Mistress Tara is now, she's now 48. She's got 2 decades of kink community business experience under her belt. Mm. She's a self-proclaimed world's greatest dominatrix. And she's hanging out at a California fetish convention called DomCon 2016.
Hello. How much are tickets for that?
We should road trip to California and
we're bringing a recorder and we're gonna go. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Shit. Like, I'd be so nervous. And I'd be like, you so little scared. Bitch.
Yeah. You I would be like, bitches. I'm a fraud and you know it and you can see it. It's all over me and I'm sorry I'm sweating on you.
They would love it. Okay.
I don't know. Anyway. I would hope so, but also I would be so afraid that they wouldn't. Okay. So, she's at DomCon 2016, and she announces that she's running for president.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Right. It's like a write-in libertarian candidate. Yeah.
Okay.
First item on the agenda for Mistress Tara is for everyone to go to her Amazon wish list that's full of tiny dildos and send those to Donald Trump. To publicly humiliate him.
Damn it.
Yeah. I know we missed out on this.
What the hell?
Because we were like focused on who knows what.
Yeah.
Whatever we were doing. I don't know. We were like watching dumb things.
So many memes and political memes.
So much wasted time.
A lot of Hillary, Bernie, Trump memes, all of it. So many memes. God.
In her opinion, Trump is a needle dick carnival barker whose every thought and deed is meant to compensate for the size of his incredibly tiny micropenis.
Oh.
Like,
I just want to pause. And just also carnival barker.
Yeah.
That says so much.
A needle dick carnival barker.
Oh my God. I mean,
I wasn't holding this computer and my right arm weren't asleep right now because of the way I'm sitting, I would clap for her.
Yeah, I will.
Thank you. Right. And I'm doing it in my mind claps, and I'm doing it in my heart.
Just really good. Really, really good. I don't want to let that die. We'll bring that back again.
Yes.
Yeah, that's got to be. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
love
you
that.
Needle dick carnival barker, you.
That's just.
Yes.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. It's perfect. It's just a nail on the head. Yeah. Damn. He hasn't changed a bit. Wow.
Yeah, he's only become.
Yeah, it's been 2 years. He hasn't changed what?
Bigger needle dick carnival barker with an even smaller penis.
Weird how that happens.
So her plan, the dildos can save democracy plan. She says that we can attack Trump through a massive dominatrix small penis humiliation campaign, Dildos for Democracy, on and offline with thousands of tiny dildos and the hashtag Mistress Tara for President printed on them. Mm-hmm. And then we can just like throw them around at Trump rallies, ship them to Trump Tower, you know, all that fun First Amendment stuff.
I didn't hear about any of this. I can't
Neither
believe it.
Neither did I.
I wish I were a part of this movement.
Like, what keywords do I put into my Google alert to start getting this kind of news?
I need this content.
Because it was talked about on, like, mainstream outlets like Vice and GQ. Like, people were talking about it.
I totally missed it. Damn.
And yeah, it's just never showed up in anything. Damn. I'm so sad about that. But on a more serious note, Tara said that she's running for president because being a dominatrix requires strong negotiation abilities and a profound understanding of the human nature. And also, more importantly, she said, I've been beating men like Donald Trump. And the number for that is apparently over 10,000. I've been beating men like Donald Trump for 25 years. And with your help, I'll beat him in November. Just,
my God. Yes. Amazing right. campaign.
Yes.
Oh my God. That is fucking nuts.
Mistress Tara.
Oh my God. People, yeah, it really is. Not that I'm, you know, I'm not a professional in the dominatrix industry at all, but it's like what you hear about is like these really old, rich white men who mm-hmm. are the ones that need to be dominated. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what's that dynamic mm-hmm. there? Oh, it's so interesting. I just want to, I want to sit in on a therapy session.
Yes.
Oh, I love it. Oh,
yeah. And I really want to learn so much more about the BDSM community in general.
Mm-hmm.
I just totally ran out of time. And I,
So
I'm just, we're just telling her story, but we will dive into that.
Yeah.
In coming We've episodes gotta, at some yeah. point or another in yeah. the future.
Yeah, because it's so interesting.
Yeah.
So many layers. Okay. Sorry. Okay.
So Mistress Tara wanted to represent the BDSM community.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to highlight how like fucked and totally corrupt our electoral process has become. Like, she said a lot of things. I didn't include this, so these aren't direct quotes, but she said a lot of things about like when you think about the fact that some asshole reality TV star is trying to become our president, like it's really not that big of a far-fetched idea that a dominatrix would try to become our president,
honestly.
The door's open now. We can all become president now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, it's so true. Yeah. It's so fucking true. Oh yeah. Okay,
well, I'm sure like she didn't just do this thinking like I'm gonna win. Mm-hmm. You know, she did insist that her candidacy was an immediate stunt, that she does think that she's more qualified to be president than Trump is, which, I mean, true, low bar, but true. You know, like, everyone is, most people are more qualified than him, but not taken away from her achievements. She's amazing.
But she was like, Trump, you know what, fuck it. Like, if this guy's going to fucking run, I'm going to fucking run.
Exactly. And some of her campaign was really funny. Like her slogan, which was whipping America back into shape, one middle-aged white man at a time.
Wow. I have goosebumps.
I'm inspired. And like, look at her. She's so pretty, isn't she?
Oh,
look
my
at her.
God.
She's
like ready to fucking
She's like serious. Go. Look, oh, she's got that whip and she's not fucking around. No.
Oh my God, I love her. Yeah. And she's a redhead. Nice.
She's a,
Nice.
She is a redhead.
Sorry, that totally takes away from her entire thing.
No.
Like, oh, and she's hot.
I mean, honestly, she, bonus. Like the way she ran the Den of Iniquity, like it, she was like, we're beautiful. Mm-hmm. We're fucking everything anyone has ever wanted to see on a woman. But we will kick your fucking ass, dude. And you're going to like it.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think that she... I think she's just, like, open to all of it. And she knows she's beautiful.
Yeah.
And she has beautiful red hair. And she's wonderful. And I love her.
I know. We just appreciate every single part of her.
Okay. So, Miss Tara thinks that... Mistress Tara, not Miss Tara.
That was weird. My preschool teacher.
Just, like, raise your hand.
Buried things here. All right.
I'm working through some of my own stuff. I'm sorry.
It's not the medium. Okay.
Okay. Mistress Tara thinks that our problem, like as a country and also as the world altogether, everyone, we're all a part of it, is that there aren't enough women in leadership positions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, yeah. Bitch. Thank you. Sorry, Mistress Tara. I didn't mean to call you that.
But it's endearing here.
Also, yes.
On Frisky History, bitch is an endearing term.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. I only call my favorite bitches bitch.
Yeah.
Both to their face and behind their back. Because I love them.
Yeah.
Aw. But yes, men have been fucking shit up for thousands of years, and it's time to let women take over.
That's right.
And that was a foundation of her platform. She wanted to prohibit white men from holding office without permission from their mistress.
Wow.
She wanted to institute a sexier interrogation program where leather-clad dominatrices. It's fine. It's my fault I didn't look it up. Moving on. Where they would use teasing and denial to break ISIS operatives. And also, men, get your fucking purses out because we're sick and tired of your loose change being everywhere. Take responsibility for your keys and wallet and carry a purse. So those were some of the more, this is fun, isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
But she wasn't just out there to be like, I'm going to throw around all these things that, you know, are for the humor, you know, breaking through humor or whatever. She also wanted to take on some really serious issues. Like sex workers' rights and decriminalizing all consensual sex acts between adults. She wanted to get more funding for scientific research that would show that S&M is a sexual orientation and therefore genetic.
Wow.
Not just like a preference. Yeah. That's something she truly believes, that it's a sexual orientation, just like, you know, being straight, being gay.
Yeah.
And that should therefore like give them the same protections that the LGBTQ plus community has.
Oh wow, that's wild. Because I'm like, what even is the difference between sexual orientation and sexual preference? It's like you just do what you like.
It doesn't strike me as super weird or like impossible that like
it should
S&M would be a sexual orientation.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's so cool. Okay. Like,
why base it on gender? I don't know.
I'm for it.
She also thought that there should be more done to educate mental health professionals because the S&M community isn't getting the care that they need. And also overall humanizing the BDSM community and adding kink specifically to discrimination laws, which I honestly hadn't spent a lot of time thinking about, like, just to be totally transparent. Like, I honestly never thought about it, but I also believe that that's something that is necessary. Like, discrimination against people who are in the BDSM community, I could totally see why they would need laws protecting them from things, because people just have such a skewed view on it and, like, what it means, and they make all these assumptions about a person who is involved in it that aren't true and really have no basis. Like, there's no reason to think these things.
Right, exactly.
And Mistress Tara talked about how there may not be statistics on these things, but people in the BDSM community, they'll lose their jobs. They can lose custody of their children, and they can lose their homes if they're outed publicly. And I found, like, some of those exact things in articles about, like, real people having these things happen to them.
Wow.
So I read one thing that's, like, in 2013, this woman, it's either her ex-boyfriend or her ex-husband. The article actually wasn't consistent when naming him. But he called social services and told them that her children were in danger because of her dominant, submissive relationship with her new boyfriend. And he started making all these allegations about their oldest son being hung from the ceiling by his wrists. And the social worker, like, backed him up with zero, like, out ever getting any proof of any of this or looking into it further at all. And they actually took her children from her. And she had to wait months for the court to order a second evaluation. So she contacted this organization called the National Coalition for Sexual Freedom. And they work to connect kinky, poly, and other parents with legal resources to fight custody battles and similar types of things. They're there for, like, legal representation. And they ended up helping her get that second evaluation. And within weeks, the social services withdrew the abuse claims and said that her children should be reunited with their mother.
Wow.
And it happens, apparently, all the time that, like, parents... private, you know, sexual attitudes or orientations or desires are somehow reflected upon, like, reflected to mean that they are harmful to their children, even though they're all done in private. You know, there's this is like private stuff. This is not like people doing something and even in front of or near or around their children. It's just like a totally personal, private thing that somehow people are turning into being like a bad environment for children.
Yeah, it's completely separate.
Yeah. And people who are sexual sadists, masochists, or have poly relationships are usually the first and easiest victims to do something like that, too.
Wow.
The National Coalition for Sexual Freedom said that several years ago, 4 out of 5 parents asking them for help lost their custody battles. But within the last few years, the win-lose record has finally started to, like, swap so that less parents are losing these custody battles.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think there's, like, a lot of work to do because, I mean, well, like, one, like, can we not have to get to the part where you're going to court to win or lose custody of your children and just, like, not assume that people can't be good parents just because they have different sexual needs or preferences from you?
Yeah.
Another article... Wow. I know this is supposed to be fun, but this little part
is like just like a whole other world.
Yeah.
You know, it's but I'm glad I'm learning about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. I feel like I feel like why haven't I ever even like thought about it? It's really insensitive of me, even though the minute I read that, I was like, yeah, of course. Like,
right.
Of course they suffer from these things the same way. Anyone in the LGBT community did and still is.
Because people use it against them.
Mm-hmm. And anyone who's different.
Yeah, people are afraid. People so they aren't white point men. And they're like, they're doing this wrong. This is unsafe. Blah, blah, blah.
I'm sorry, but this is not cowards. The exact way I do things. And you're different from me. So prison.
Excuse me. Missionary only, please.
Lights on.
And if that's your thing, fine. Just
eyes
don't
open.
Give anyone shit for doing anything else. For real. Whatever.
It's true. I found another article that talks about how a Canadian radio host claimed that he was fired by the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation because executives found out that he participated in consensual BDSM. And he wrote on Facebook that they told him that this type of sexual behavior was unbecoming of a prominent host of CBC.
Oh, my God.
But to just give all the information, the Toronto Star published an article that said that he was let go because he had a history of assaulting women.
Okay,
not
well, hey.
The consensual king. So it's hard to know if that may be a good example and it may not be. It's hard to know.
True.
I didn't fully like dive into that and see who had what proof and what people were claiming. I honestly didn't look into it.
Mm.
So that may not be the greatest example, but I do think it does open the conversation to what the BDSM community is really afraid of.
Yeah.
And that's like being exposed, being fired, losing the kids or losing the house for it.
Yeah.
So win or lose an election, the like presidential election, Mistress Tara just wants to show how protecting the rights of kinky Americans is really a fight for individual liberty. And on the campaign trail, Mistress Tara gives her speeches without a podium, but with a subordinate male kneeling at her feet, holding her papers, and getting flogged when it's time to turn the page.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So we're hard shift back into the fun stuff. Sorry about that. Am I
the
best storyteller?
No. You're painting the full picture.
Full picture.
And I'm loving this. I need to see these videos.
I know. There's honestly some really good videos online. Aside from the Jon Stewart one that I can't find, there's a bunch of great ones. You can watch it. We'll share them.
Great.
We'll definitely share them.
Yes.
And when it comes to her VP, Mistress Tara named other mistresses like Mistress Snow Mercy, who apparently is a scientist. That's the first time I'm hearing that name, who's apparently a scientist and would have been incredibly helpful on global warming issues. Also, Mistress Geneva, who would have helped her get that South vote, getting that in, because I'm guessing she was Southern, didn't really say, and I didn't look into it. Sorry.
You're Southern. You get it.
I get it. I hear that name. I see an accent and
you see,
like...
Yeah.
hospitality, and I'm ready to give you my
some
vote.
Cornbread.
Oh, I love cornbread.
I don't know.
Honestly, if you've never had warm cornbread, this is going to sound weird and it's going to sound gross, but I promise it's delicious. Warm cornbread. You break it up into pieces. You put milk in that bowl as if it were cereal. Listen, I'm giving you some hardcore white people shit right now. Oh, I need your attention. You put milk, cold milk, in that bowl with that warm cornbread, and then you, you know, make haste because you don't want it to be weird and soggy and gross, and you eat it with a spoon, and it is delicious.
Whoa.
And it's so fucking good. My grandfather, who I did not call grandfather, which is weird, my papa used to do it with buttermilk. And that's disgusting. May he rest in peace.
Yeah,
that's terrible,
that.
Though, and that's disgusting. Don't do that. Just a good 2%, and that's fine. Cold, warm cornbread, bowl, spoon,
2%. Oh, my God. Get that whole milk. Yeah. We get that whole milk every time.
Sure. Get the full nutrients.
Get it all.
Your bones
get it
deserve
all in
it.
You. Yeah. Wow.
That has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Yeah. Okay. I've never heard of
that.
I
promise you, it's good.
And the thing is, it's... you know, nutritionally not really different from just straight up cereal.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it's bread and it's
milk. Just a little confused, but maybe one day.
I don't know where it came from. I don't know if it was back in my day, we were so poor, we had cornbread and milk and water. And we thought out of those three things,
it's a delicacy.
Two of them may go better together. I don't know if that's it. I don't know if it's a thing. Southern people.
People
tell me.
Write in.
Have you had this?
I've reported
you
to the police.
At us.
This is fucked.
I need to know. It's good though.
Is that a thing?
It
wow.
is good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll believe it when I see
right.
you know someone else other than you say it. So
I need some
we'll
reliable
see.
Witnesses.
We're gonna let you know, the numbers will tell us.
The listeners will come through for me. I believe them.
Okay.
And also, this has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
No.
Going back
on track.
So we've got
so
the
sorry.
Southern vote if we go with that VP. But also on the table, she was throwing around names like George Takei.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yes.
And also Wanda Sykes. Because
yeah.
she thought she was like a fucking no bullshit badass lady, too.
Absolutely.
I'd vote. You got my vote.
Fuck yeah. Oh my God, that's so great.
Okay, so unfortunately, however, we know that we did not end up with Mistress Tara as our president.
Shit.
Unfortunately.
We fucked up.
Yeah, we did fuck up.
We
really dropped the ball there, guys.
Really fucked
wow,
that
way
up.
To go.
Whoa.
But as we know, she also ain't no bitch. And so she was not ready to stop fighting just because she didn't get to be the president. Thus, Dominatrix against Donald Trump was born. And there, I should have said this differently. Take two. Thus, Dominatrix against Donald Trump was born.
What?
Peeing on Trump today for better America tomorrow. Hashtag women who pee standing.
Yeah.
I gotta get the full thing.
That's me. I have
a
sheenus.
You have a sheenus. You pee standing. You get it.
Fuck yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
I totally get it.
Oh my God.
Girls,
yes.
Let's go.
Let's pee.
Let's
not
pee
sit
standing
down.
Up.
I'm tired of it.
I don't want to sit down.
I don't want to sit down anymore. It's very
You're vulnerable.
Unsanitary.
You got to be ready for anything.
Absolutely. The time it would take for me to stand up while an attacker is advancing on me, that's a life or death decision that we made.
Boom, boom. Yeah, I get it. I've used my sheenus twice.
We're both like times
2 years.
Just euphoric experiences.
Yeah, a little bit stressful. Still working out
still
the mechanics
how
of that
control
thing.
The stream.
Yeah,
I get it. You know, we were not. We didn't have practice from, you know, a child age, a child from a long like we've been
age.
Right.
So
it's
we just
definitely
don't,
me.
We don't
for
have
sure.
that experience.
We're working on it. But we're going to learn. And then we're going to take that
be,
power.
All these
and
women
we're going to take it to fight Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Okay, so what, you may ask?
Mm.
Who are they? What do they do? So dominatrix against Donald Trump. Dad, for short.
Oh, my God.
I'm not kidding.
Amazing.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm going to do a lot of quoting from this because I honestly can't say it better than they said it on their website. And also, I was running out of time very quickly. Yes, I recall while I was being extremely pissed off at you for taking so long.
Oh, no. God. I was watching Jason Bateman. I was fine.
Okay, so Dad is a collective of pro-doms and their allies, founded in August 2016. The idea began during a campaign fundraiser, and then after the shock of the Clinton loss, you recall that. Yes, the shame and the crying and the overwhelming sense of fear and the, just like wanting to die and realizing that we ruined everything.
This is real. Yeah, for sure.
That one.
I recall. Weird day.
So after that happened, after we all suffered that loss, Dad became a place where the collective BDSM power and their allies could organize political actions, protect the rights of the differently pleasured under a president, a Trump administration, and do what we, or they, because I'm not one of them. It's fine, I copied and pasted.
Oh, man.
Do what they could as dominatrix to help get Trump impeached. I mean, I'm for it. I'm with you. I love you for it. They are together working to highlight and I guess probably like destroy the hypocrisy, injustice, and double standard that's applied to sex workers and the politicians that hire them. A dominatrix who pees on Trump can be sent to jail while Trump can be paid to be peed on and he gets to be president, they say.
Whoa. Yes. What?
Yep. They want to talk about how men's sexual shame is the root cause of most of our problems as a society. Almost every major catastrophe in the world right now is because some man is afraid the public will find out what he did with his pee-pee. Their words. But like, you know.
Oh, that's so good.
Snap. Yeah.
That is so good. Shit.
Yeah. And lastly, the need for women in leadership positions or positions of power. I'm 100%
absolutely
behind all of these
things. Absolutely.
And they will achieve these goals by putting their dominatrix skills to work to humiliate Trump, IRL, and online on the interwebs, as we talked about. The internet. You're familiar.
Ah.
Yes.
YouTube.
Well, could be. Could be something separate, depending on how you use it.
Okay.
Okay. and they're going to do this until he resigns or is impeached. So do you remember my excellent intro part of this section where I was like, hashtag women who pee standing up?
Oh, I remember the intro part. Standing, yes.
That's like one of their, I think, largest campaigns within this dominatrix against Donald Trump.
Catchy.
Yes, I found one video that was, they titled it A Walk of No Shame. It's based on the message of protecting sex workers, who they say are not just human beings who work and deserve rights, but sex workers help keep society safe by providing emotional and physical support to millions of people when they are feeling vulnerable or alone and in need of human touch or companionship.
Wow.
Preach, ladies. Aww. Yes. They also think that, like, it's the community is providing a sexual health and healing and that they're responsible for like calming stress levels just overall in society.
Yeah.
And that sex and BDSM are medicine.
Yeah. I mean, it's an outlet.
Absolutely. And what's weird about reading all of that is that I get this callback to our incel episode. And those pieces of human garbage that like to refer to themselves as pickup artists. And I hope they all burn.
Yeah, for sure.
Terribly.
Hate them. Like,
painfully.
Really get revved up when I think about
them. Hate them.
Hate it.
But honestly, they were saying similar things. The point is the meaning and the purpose behind these statements, even though those statements are very similar, that whole thing where why you're saying it really makes a difference. So when Mistress Tara says these things, I'm in full support because I think she's right.
Yeah.
I think they should all die. And I hate them.
Yeah.
I just want to be clear. I have a hard stance. At me, I'll read it while eating my cornbread and milk. It's fine. But of course, our government only likes to put sex workers in danger and like punish them because why not? That's awful. Let's do that. So recently, this set of bills came through, one being the Stop Enabling Sex Traffickers Act, and the other is the Fight Online Sex Trafficking Act. And they were supposed to cut down on illegal sex trafficking online, which is great. Full support. Absolutely. That's a terrible thing that we should definitely be putting a lot of attention into and fixing. But they also, in these bills, took away all the things about the internet that keep sex workers safe. Like how they advertise, how they vet clients, and how they choose clients. And you're basically saying you can't do this online anymore because we're cracking down on all of your outlets for that. And you're sending them back onto the street where there is no insured safe place to go. There are no precautions being taken when meeting or selecting clients. And mostly the thing that this bill did that was just made it, in their eyes, unsupportable, even though I'm sure they're also in full support of stopping online trafficking, is that it didn't differentiate between consensual sex work and non-consensual sex trafficking. They're viewed as the same thing when that's, in reality, not at all true. So Dad's response...
Dad. To, good old Dad.
Dad's response to Trump signing these into law... was making the world an unsafe world for sex workers, not to mention killing their livelihood, because that was really important. The internet and access to it made a huge difference.
Yeah,
is to stand in solidarity and demand equal rights for safety, work, and voice. And by calling on women who feel just as like fucking broken by the Trump presidency to stand up and pee. And they're on a mission to just piss all over Donald Trump any way they can. So you can watch this video of them, the one I was referring to earlier. And it's like BDSM from head to toe. They have like their full dominatrix costumes or clothing. I don't know the correct term. I'm sorry. And then they have their submissive, I think maybe like on a leash. They definitely have whips, walking like the fucking streets of Hollywood. And they go right up to Donald Trump's, like, star on the Walk of Fame thing. Spread their legs, full standing position, and just pee all over it. And everyone's watching. And it's amazing.
Oh, my God. That's fucking wild. Yeah.
they just urinate. These
family of tourists with, like, maps. Just,
absolutely. Phones out, recording the whole
visors
thing.
And just like, oh, honey,
this is the California incredible. I came to see. Is
for real. Wow.
Yeah. And you can pee too. All you have to do.
Me?
Yeah. You. Everybody. We can all do it. Get your sheenus. Let's go.
Let's do it.
All you have to do is find something with Trump's name on it, preferably a building, they say. Pee on it. And then post the video online or just send it to them so they can just see you peeing on it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Let's make a difference.
Let's pee all over his stuff. I don't actually know if we have something here to pee on in Seattle.
I know. In Seattle, I don't know.
Yeah. Road trip.
Yeah,
California.
Right.
There's got to be something. I mean, there's the star, if nothing else. We'll go pee on top of their pee.
That might be the closest thing. Yeah.
Trump, I guess
Trump Tower.
Yeah,
somewhere?
I mean, there's definitely in Las Vegas. Which,
yeah,
I don't know if Southern California is closer than Las Vegas, but
honestly, who knows?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I don't know.
We've been trying to figure that
or
out.
Or time,
years, really.
How any of it works.
It doesn't make any fucking sense.
Right. Also, what are magnets? Like, how do they?
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Anyway.
That's a joke that a lot of people have told, and I by no means think I came up with it. And it's not funny, and you're right.
No, I love it.
Back Damn. To dad. So they also throw Donald Trump pee parties where they will stage a protest against the president and by dressing their subs up like him, and wow. then they pee on them.
Wow.
As a part of the of party slash protest.
Like everyone wins.
Fundraiser, whatever the point of it is.
Yeah.
Like they have like Russian hooker pee-pee parties that are inspired by the dossier. And Whoa. They'll like degrade and spank and peg their Donald Trump and of course peon. They're willing Donald Trump submissives. They're like wearing the like, you know, Donald Trump mask. Like
yeah.
It's great. Sometimes they're in diapers and they're babies. Sometimes they're in suits.
Mm. Okay.
All kinds of yeah. Donald Trumps to pee on. And put dildos inside of. And they'll scream Damn. Things like while it's all happening, like we want to save our planet. Or one mistress was called Sister Bumblebee and they said like slay it Sister Bumblebee, sting him harder. It's just like a positive great place to be and a thing I want to be a part of.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God.
So I know what you're thinking. A woman, how do I
yeah
be part of
where
this?
Who
So you can still send him the tiny dildos from their wish list. That's still a thing. Go to their website, find the wish list, mail them away. You can also go to one of these parties if they're available in your city. You can become a dad spokesmodel. You don't have to be a dominatrix, they say, but it does help. Mm-hmm. But you're just supposed to like take a picture of yourself abusing a slave in a Donald Trump mask.
Wow.
And you're there and you did it.
Oh, my God.
Danny, just kidding.
Whoa.
Also, you can donate because, in their words, this shit costs money.
Yeah, for sure.
Amen. Yeah. And so I did do that in the name of Frisky History.
You did?
I did.
Oh my
and
God.
I left it, and they let you write a message. So I wrote this message. I wrote, we love the work you do and are constantly inspired by your courage to fight back, keep kicking, spanking, and whipping ass. Love the ladies of Frisky History.
Oh
podcast.
My God. Oh, so, my God.
Someone in there. Somewhere, in a there. Part of this in organization yes. Is, yes. is just going to yes. read it and be like, I don't understand and I don't care. And who are you? But I like that.
I think for me, it's I feel enough. Really good about what you did
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just take ownership of it. And that's.
I think it's great.
I get it.
Yeah.
It's ours.
I feel like it's right.
Thank you for doing that. That's
You're
incredible.
Welcome. You're welcome. It was all part of my Giving Tuesday day where I,
it was
where
a big
I
day, yeah.
did my sweep.
Yeah.
One day a year when I'm a good person. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm finally a good person.
I mean, yeah. But I didn't couldn't share that one because obviously, secret. Secret, secret.
Oh, I love
and
that.
And that's all I have.
Oh,
to share.
That was so good.
So I think they're great. I think you should support them.
Yes.
They have an Instagram. You can follow Mistress Tara on Twitter.
Yeah.
They have a website, obviously, where you can donate. Great place mm-hmm. to go. Mm-hmm. They have all kinds of stuff. Just like go to their YouTube channel and watch some of their videos and then pee on stuff. It's great.
Yeah!
And that's
Finally.
The message that we have to send.
Yeah.
And before we go, do you want just like a quick John
yes.
Wayne Bobbitt?
Yeah, because that's
thing really
fucking
fast.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So John Wayne and Lorena Bobbitt are uh-huh. the couple we're talking about. Okay. The incident yeah. occurred in 1993 in Virginia.
Oh my God, my birth year. Hello.
It was meant to be. Okay. So Lorena said that after coming home at night that her husband had raped her. And so after he had gone to sleep, she grabbed a knife from the kitchen, entered their bedroom, and removed his penis at its base.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. After this, she left the apartment with the penis, and she drove away in her car, and after a while, she just threw it into a field. She eventually stops. She calls 911. After an exhaustive search, they locate John's penis. And they reattach it at a hospital, and it took 9.5 hours.
Yep.
And he never yep. regained full sensation.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it feels right.
That's okay. When she was arrested, she told police that he always has orgasms and he never waits for her to have an orgasm and he's selfish. Also, she also stated that John sexually, physically, and emotionally abused her, that he flaunted his infidelities and forced her to have an abortion.
Wow. Wow.
And her lawyer said that, like, all of this just led her to eventually snapping.
Yeah.
John denied these allegations of abuse, but he wasn't great with keeping his story straight. And expert witnesses came forward and said that he had mentally and physically abused her and that the abuse was escalating. So it doesn't look good for him. But he was later acquitted of rape. So,
Wow.
Nothing happened to him. He told, like, multiple versions. I obviously had this in a terrible order. But when he was, like, mixing his story up, he would say, like, that they hadn't had sex, that Lorena had tried to initiate sex, but he had been too tired, that they had sex, but he had slept through it, and that the sex had been consensual. But the jury found Lorena not guilty due to insanity, causing an irresistible impulse to sexually wound John. And she underwent a 45-day evaluation period at Central State Hospital.
Wow.
But after that, she tried to keep a low profile until 1997, when she made news because she was charged for assaulting her mother by punching her in the face.
Oh.
So, I don't know what's going on there.
Assaulted her mother by punching her in the face.
Not just a, like, just like that kind of assault where you punch your mom in the face.
Yeah.
So that's okay. Just like a quick run through of, like, what happened there.
Not great.
Don't feel bad for him.
Yeah. I've known about this whole case for maybe, you know, an hour since you first mentioned it. And I feel like I'm an expert on it. So I think he got what he deserved.
I feel confident to make a definitive decision on this. And I would say, good for her.
We're here to say, and good for her.
There you go. Okay. So, this episode has been a roller coaster.
It has been. I loved it. I loved every second of it. I'm so glad we finally have dove deeper into the dominatrix culture.
Yes. That was a very specific episode, but more to come later. We will.
Yeah.
We have nothing but episodes ahead and we want to cover everything fairly.
Yeah.
So this is not the end of our conversation.
No, it's just, I do like personal, you know, stories about specific people.
And I really wanted to talk about her because I thought she was incredible.
Yeah. She's really cool. And I'm totally going to follow her on everything and find out all about dad.
Yes.
Find out all about my dad. And
move over, dad. There's a new dad in town.
Come
visit me.
Dad, I'm have
busy
you heard
with
of
my
dad?
New dad.
You're in a cult. Call dad.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So that there, only leaves two things. We're almost done.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go ahead and, like, I don't know, pop into our
Misconnection.
Okay. Yep.
Was that too much?
Never. Do you have one? Do you want to go first?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's one of those that I just, like, found, and it's not super long.
Mine is also very short.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you go first.
Okay.
I'm just going to read this either way, but it's fine. Okay. Just go for it.
Me for it? Me first. So my misconnection is titled, You Stepped on My Penis.
That's really good. This is good already. Damn.
Oh, wait. That wasn't all. You Stepped on My Penis, Man for Woman, 33, Lifetime Fitness. That's all just the title.
Lifetime. This is a commitment I have made.
I think that's a place.
Holy shit.
I think that's a gym.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, you just made... Was I not picking up on your facetious tone?
Just Lifetime. This is who I am.
Connect. So Robin and I are always on the same page and we speak the same language and we always get each other all the time because that's what best friends do.
Oh man. There's like a wire missing in my brain. Okay. Carry on.
Yeah, you.
We can dive
it's
into that.
You. It's not
Patreon
me at all.
Mini episode. We don't have a Patreon. I keep saying Patreon because it's funny, but we don't have one.
We don't.
For listeners.
We don't.
Listening.
But if you really want one, listening. Guys, like bring the demand. But first, let's settle the cornbread milk thing.
One yeah, thing I don't know how fast let's that's going to be. But
settle that conversation.
That's going to be an ongoing.
That's going to take a while. Woof. That could take years.
Yeah. So stay tuned.
I'm sorry.
Please step
Back
on my
step,
penis. Yeah.
You stepped on my penis. Man for woman, 33, Lifetime Fitness. Me in spandex on the floor mat looking ace as hell. You on the treadmill running from me. You fell off, stumbled back, and stepped on my penis. I'll let you do it again if you want. Next time, just ask.
Oh, that's good.
That's great.
That's really good.
That's so good. I felt like it was in line. It was nice. I loved it. My work here is done.
Yeah, I do. I love that. I feel like you normally have the ones that are like, you, blah, 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 blah. Me, blah, blah, blah.
I do feel like I
it's
get
so dramatic.
That stretcher. Yeah,
it's,
I like,
it's a really
I
good
like
build
that
up.
Stretcher. I like that structure.
Yeah.
To misconnection.
It's really nice. I have one called I Gave You an Accidental Back Scratch.
Okay.
So we'll see how this goes. We were strangers on the 27th.
Oh, no, wait.
We were strangers in the 27th row on a flight from Seattle.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. That's
I've
where
read
we are.
This.
You have. Oh, fuck. You know
yeah,
what?
It's like a picture of her hand.
It is.
I've done that one.
Really. Oh, fuck. Oh, my God. You.
I've done it on the show to you.
No.
Yeah.
Honestly, I clicked on one and I was like, this is the only one that isn't six fucking paragraphs.
Yeah.
Who's going to sit and read your. You're never going to find a connection if you write six fucking
Listen,
paragraphs of
no
bullshit of how you feel. No one gives a shit.
That.
How
we
about
want
this?
A one sentence summary, too long, don't care. That's the only way we'll fall in love with you.
Have you read the one that says, man of my dreams, woman for man?
Not that I
Specific.
Recall.
Specific. Okay. it's a picture of a man in a kayak. I don't know. I waited till the last minute. I didn't think of this earlier today.
No, you
and
waited
I'm just
till
kind
the last
of.
Minute.
I did.
I literally just finished writing this episode. Hi, we fell together.
Damn it.
Me and you. We're tragic failures together.
I had one job for this fucking episode. Okay. This afternoon, you pulled up Bayou Beer Garden in your kayak just to grab a cold one. You, sir, are the man of my dreams. You're not the kind of guy who just throws in the towel on a perfectly good day off. Mm. No! Mm-mm. You're the kind of man who grabs the bull by the horns and carpes the shit out of that DM.
Oh, look at her.
Have that beer, baby. You deserve it. Wow, this is really... She's like, fuck yeah, get it. Mm. While Airbnbs cower in their shotguns. What the fuck is... What? Awaiting word from the National Guard, you, sir, glide through the streets like a gondolier in the canals of Venice.
What was there a flood?
It really does look like there was a flood,
was
actually.
There, was he kayaking what, oh. in a flood?
Yes.
Like in
see,
Louisiana
I didn't
or
see
something?
This at first, but wow, that is for sure a flood. There's like a Mini Cooper that's up to its headlights and
oh yeah. Oh
water.
Yeah, there should not be a Mini Cooper that far underwater. That's for sure a flood. That guy is drinking that beer and he does not
He's
have a
like
shirt on.
Fucking carpeeing the ship out of the DM. Wow.
Carpeeing the ship out of the DM is it's a saying that I often use.
Oh my god.
Carping the ship out of Yes.
The DM.
Yep.
I'm
right here. I'm
the canals of Venice. As I was saying.
Yes.
The canals of Venice, yes. A beacon of hope and comfort during these post-K times. Post-K times.
I feel like there's a lot of inside references in this one that
so
I'm
many.
Not totally sure about.
And there's no location listed, and I'm just lost. I mean, okay. Okay, so it's in New Orleans.
Okay, I was about to say the, like, bayou thing. I was like, that makes me think it's New Orleans, but...
Oh, True, I was not paying attention to my own.
That's okay.
I don't care where you may be from, because you are a true New Orleanian and a real man. Your photo will go down in infamy, and when it does, remember who truly loved you first.
Yeah.
This girl.
Honestly, yeah.
And she said, oh, is that a mullet? Sexy.
Yes. You know, I like him. I do like him.
Yeah.
And I'm in full support of what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he is the hero that this country needs. If only Mr. Sarah were taking care of that already.
Yeah, you know? Honestly. I'm going to send it to you, this photo.
Yes.
Just in case our listeners might want
I think this would be, that would be like a great teaser for this week's episode, because it has nothing to do
man
with what we're
in
talking
the,
about, but
the
it
water
is important.
Street chugging a
oh,
beer.
Oh, there it is. I got it.
Oh, shit.
That's confirmation. I literally got it on my phone, my iMac, and my laptop.
Amazing.
So not only have I got that picture, got that picture, Robin.
So connected. Did you get it?
I got it. Okay, so real quick, source shout out,
mm-hmm.
all the people,
mm.
publications, mm-hmm. and online sources that have helped me put together this episode.
Yeah.
Obviously, domsagainstdonald.com
nice.
Was the first source I went to. I got stuff from Vice. I got stuff from Mike. I got stuff from GQ.
From Mike.
Yeah, like Mike.com. Have you
like on the corner? Oh. I'm just kidding.
Mike.
Yeah.
You know Mike.
No,
the
I do
guy,
know.
The guy that always has the IC, you know? he's rarely ever wearing a shirt and always carrying a kayak around.
That guy.
It's very strange.
Really trustworthy. Yes. Source, yes.
Mike.com. GQ. Wikipedia.
Mm.
Instagram, Twitter, MistressTaraForPresident.tumblr.com, more Vice, blah blah blah. Oh my God, so much Vice. Little IMDb in there. TaraIndiana.com, which is her own personal website. Salon.com, The Guardian, The Daily Beast, Slate, and The Den of Iniquity.net. Don't open that at work like I did. And also Wikipedia for the John and Lorena Bobbitt thing. But yes, I did go to the denofiniquity.net at work and immediately was like, this site contains nudity and spanking. And I was like, no. Tell your history. Oh, dear. Oh, no, I'm at work. Oh,
work.
This is bad.
Expense reports. Blah, blah, blah.
Okay. And and then I got fired.
Oh, damn it. Oh, man. Same reason as the last time, huh?
Thank you to all of you doing the work and letting me use it. And thank you, Mistress Tara, for being and letting me use it without asking and or letting you know that I am and you have no idea and you probably don't like it. Yeah. And thanks, Mistress Tara, for being just the coolest.
Yeah. Oh,
shit.
Sorry. For real. For real. I love it.
You're amazing.
Absolutely amazing. This was.
Bravo.
Really wonderful.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For listening. Sorry for the long episode, but not long enough.
No apologies.
To
yeah.
Sorry. We're nailing
deal
it.
Deal with it. Anyway.
And good night.
Good night.
You can find us on the internet at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Our handle is @FriskyHistory. You can also listen on SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, Google maybe has one. Anywhere podcasts are available.
You can direct your questions, concerns, feedback, and weird sex stories to our email at friskyhistory@gmail.com.
Yeah. So, goodbye.